Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us for today's discussion entitled Sacred Marriage Part 4. We can jump right in. Are we ready to go?
Okay. Yes. Well, 2 weeks ago, we were still working through the book Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. Just our thoughts and what we've learned from it. And then we took a little break for the Thanksgiving episode. So this week we're going to just start with the last point that we were wanting to share with you from the book. So
we could have added that one chapter there about the bedroom. That would have been a great chapter.
Well, we have done episodes on the bedroom.
And that's true. But that was a really great chapter, too.
Well, maybe so. We'll have to pull it out.
But here's just a chapter that we thought was worth our sharing with you. Mm. And you remember what we've dealt with three chapters. There was one chapter about loving, how that marriage is an opportunity for us to learn to love.
Right.
Remember the point Mr. Thomas is making in his book is that marriage is full of challenges. And we can run from them, we can ignore them, we can fight our way through them.
Right.
We can also discover in the challenges of marriage the opportunities to learn more about God, grow an understanding of Him, and learn to love Him more.
Yes.
And in that process, we grow ourselves. And,
yes.
And quite often that's the process that helps our spouse to grow as well.
And it's an ongoing process.
It never ends.
Yes. It's always a learning season in marriage.
Absolutely. So we dealt with the first week that you guys joined us. We talked about marriage being an opportunity for us to learn to love.
Yes.
And we talked another week about how it's an opportunity for us to learn to honor.
Yes.
And then the one week that I really enjoyed was the opportunity for us to develop a good prayer life.
A better prayer life.
A better prayer life.
Based on a better marriage.
It's absolutely was a phenomenal thought. And here's one more. This one's a little not as exciting, but is absolutely a vital thought.
Yes, none of us like to think about this.
But he says that marriage is an opportunity for us to confront our sins.
Yes,
and that is a hard one.
It is.
Here was a quote in the book. He said that man was meant to be a bold, creative artist who plunges into the unformed mystery of life and shapes it to a greater vision of beauty. But at the fall, he became a cowardly, violent protector of nothing more than himself. Intimacy and openness were replaced by hiding and hatred.
Oh.
And isn't that true?
It is. It's very true.
And if you go back to Adam and Eve, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what it must have been like to live in the Garden of Eden with God's presence, with peace, with nothing wrong?
Perfection.
What an incredible thing to think about. It wasn't that they knew everything, but they were living in a world of purity and holiness and innocence and righteousness. What an incredible thought.
No sin, no selfishness. I can't even imagine in a world like that. I mean, living in the culture we live in, sin and selfishness abounds.
It's just crazy to imagine where they were.
Yes.
But as soon as sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve were dramatically changed in their relationship. They immediately started blaming each other. and that seems to be the tendency of life.
Yes, so husbands and wives come by that honestly. Yeah, and, it's been passed down from our ancestors.
It's so interesting when we get married, we are I think it was even in this book where he says that, I've read so many books lately, but the idea that in marriage we are infatuated and we tend to see what is right about our spouse. Oh my goodness, what is right?
Oh, okay. Coming into marriage.
And then when we get married, we have this tendency, because of our sin nature, to start seeing what is wrong.
Yes.
And the author made the point that actually they're the same person. Mm. The person you married is the same person. All the things that were right are still there, and all the things that were wrong were already there. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, then we come into our marriage, and because we are sinners, we end up blaming each other. And apparently husbands are especially prone to this. The verse in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
Right.
Bitterness, in essence, is blame. It's when I say, I can't believe you did that. I blame you, or I blame God, or I blame the event. The reason I am the way I am is because I was brought up. Mm. I start blaming my past.
Right.
In our culture, it's so easy because families have really struggled in our culture.
Yes.
And so for men, especially in a culture that is anti-masculinity, and in a culture where so many guys didn't have dad, he was either, absent or busy.
Right. Right.
Or just didn't care. Mm-hmm. Bitterness is a real issue. And when that spills over into a marriage, it is a massive challenge in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And so when we respond with humility to the sins that are revealed in our marriages, I almost said enhanced in our marriages.
Yes.
A marriage becomes a pathway to sanctification. And that's the point of this chapter.
So it is taking the, can I say, magnifying glass off of our spouse and what they do wrong and what in the blame game we have said, well, you made me do this because you did such and such. So instead of taking that magnifying glass and looking at them, we turn it around and we look at ourselves.
And that's why it takes two things to confront our sins in our marriage and to grow through them. The point here is to grow to something beautiful.
Right.
And to grow to something that's very strong. And the two things it's going to take is humility. Yes. And I guess we could say three things. It's going to take humility and repentance and struggle. And so if you're struggling, don't be discouraged about that. It is discouraging to struggle in a marriage.
Yes, it is.
But don't be don't be discouraged about it, because humility, repentance, and struggle can go together to form a pretty amazing marriage. And humility, he talks about humility in the book, and I have this quote that I put here in our notes by a 17th century Christian. How do you say that? You're the grammarian. Is that Francois
Fenelon?
Fenelon. I don't know who that is, but he quotes Francois Fenelon. I think that's the best way to say it. And he says that humility is a certain honesty, a childlike willingness to acknowledge our fault and recover from our fault and to submit to the advice of experienced people. And when we do that, he says, these will be solid, useful virtues adapted to sanctification. And boy, that's an incredible thought.
It is.
When I look at any issue that we face in our marriage, and I look at my part in it, and I realize that it's my sin, where I'm failing, where I'm wrong, and I come to God with that, with honesty, that's humility, when I'm honest about it. Okay, Lord, I'm sharp-tongued. I tend to be harsh. I'm distracted. I'm all about me. I prefer, and of course this isn't me, but we've counseled couples where this was the issue. I prefer video games over investing in my marriage. Or I prefer working instead of investing in my family.
Right.
When we allow those, when we're honest about those sins, then we can grow through those sins, and those become pathways to sanctification in our life. Right. And it's revealed in the struggles of a marriage.
Right.
So humility is essential.
Humility is all over the Bible. You look through the Bible in the Gospels. It is in the epistles. It is all over the Bible over and over again that we need to be humble people. And it's important to learn the humility, because it's only through the humility that we first even see our own sin. When we are proud, when we are selfish, when we will not humble ourselves, then we only will see the sin of others. And then that what David's talking about, the humility, the repentance, the struggle, we don't have the humility and the repentance. We only have the struggle, because we're just at each other all the time. Well, you, instead of, no, it's me.
Yeah, I guess the point he's making is that the struggle's always there.
Yes.
So nobody is exempt from the struggle. But when I respond to the struggle in humility and repentance, it opens the door for the struggle to become something that turns into beauty.
Yes.
And that's the point he's making. Here's a quote. What do you think about this one? He says, couples don't fall out of love so much as they fall out of repentance. What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of true, because in the Word of God, we are commanded to love one another. And if we are not loving one another, then we are not repenting and we're not making things right with God or our spouse.
And I think the other side of that is that in the context of this chapter is that he's saying that when we don't deal with sin and personal failures and wrong attitudes, they begin to erode the marriage relationship.
Yes.
And I think erosion is the key. You know, we see the dramatic, like this summer, last summer I was speaking at a church in Colorado, or a camp rather, in Colorado. And we had massive rain one night, massive rain, just inches and inches of rain. And the result was that there were several mountain slides. In fact, for some time we were blocked into the canyon. There was no way out. Because the mountain slides covered the road. No, they brought in equipment and cleaned it up, and you know, within the next little bit, there was at least some clearing. You could, you know, sneak around and get where you needed to be. But
right.
it was a little scary there at first.
Yes.
That massive mudslide.
Yes.
And typically we think of a marriage, you know, just like it seems to, problems seem to come out of nowhere. What happened in their marriage? They're separated or they're getting a divorce. And we see the mudslide. But the mudslide is not the focus. The focus is all the little erosions.
Yes.
And the point he's making here is that we have to deal with all the little things.
Right.
And if we don't, then all that erosion leads to a massive mudslide. And what we want out.
Right.
I want out right now. Get me out of here. Let me go. And I'm done with this. I'm finished.
We could say, and I don't really like to say it this way because they're not like little sin and big sin, but we should be dealing with the quote little sins in our life. We should be repenting of them lest they erode our relationship, our marriage. And then all of a sudden there's something big and the struggle is way too large and we don't want to deal with it.
That's true. And here's how he said it. He said that spiritual maturity is not to leave a sinner, our spouse, but to change a sinner, ourselves.
Yes.
So if as Christians, and we're speaking to the Christian world here, the Christian worldview, the point is that struggles are coming to your marriage and you have them. Mm-hmm. And if I get honest about what the struggle is, not from of my wife, but of me,
right?
Not of your husband, but of you.
Yes.
If I get honest about that, then what happens is I begin the process of sanctification, of repenting, humility, being honest.
Yes.
And repenting. Mm-hmm. Then God uses that combination of humility and repentance to change me into the image of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And whether you would ever do right or not, I can.
Right.
And whether I ever do right or not, you can.
Right.
And sometimes in a marriage, we just throw up our hands and say, I'm done, I want out. Mm. But what we do is how many times have we seen this? A couple wants out. Okay, so they walk out, but they still haven't dealt with the issues that caused the problem in the first place.
True.
So they get remarried. Mm. And shocking as all get out, they discover that their marriage still has the same problems. Mm-hmm. Because it's not the spouse that's the issue here at this point. It's me.
Absolutely.
It's them. And so what he's talking about here is that if I confront my sins and mature to victory, that a marriage becomes a crown of success and not a casualty statistic. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's discussion was the first part of Sacred Marriage Part 4. Join us next time as we finish this discussion.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.